And let somebody shout hallelujah.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the man of all, His mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, praise His holy name.
Network Television, Pastor E.A. Adebuyi, delivering the word with passion and power.
Let somebody shout hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised.
Eternal Rock of Ages, we, your children, are gathered here this morning saying good morning to you. Thank you for waking us up. Because if we didn't wake us up this morning, we would not be here. Thank you for watching over us while we slept. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Eternal Rock of Ages, we commit this day into your hands. Let it be a day that will change our lives.
Amen.
Like never before, visit us today.
Amen.
Challenge us.
Amen.
Transform us.
Amen.
Break us down and clean us up.
Amen.
And then assemble us again and anoint us. Father, I pray that beginning from now, the joy, the blessing, the peace, the anointing, your glory in the life of all of us will begin to overflow.
Amen.
And all over the world today, send help to your children.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let someone shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and say, God, we bless you today. And then you may please be seated. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. This passage is probably one of the most loved of all Bible passages. It is the passage that ensures or assures the Christian that our tomorrow will be all right. So if you hear me say to anyone, don't worry about me, my tomorrow will be all right, it is based on Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. And I'm sure some of you probably heard me share with you before. One young fellow who came to us some time ago and said, "Sir, we hear that you are a prophet of God." I said, "Well, actually, I'm a pastor. But I do hear from God once in a while." He said, no, 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 they told us that whatever you prophesy comes to pass. I said, all right, so what is the problem? He said, well, can you tell me my future? I said, well, if you answer my question, then I'll be able to tell you. He said, what's the question? I said, are you born again? He said, no. I said, your future will be terrible. He said, but how do you know? You don't even know my name. You haven't prayed. I said, I don't have to pray. It is written. Woe to the wicked. He shall be healed with him. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11. And the word of God is forever settled. I said, if you had said that, I am a child of God, then I would have said, you have a brilliant tomorrow. Because Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10 says, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Will you tell your neighbor my tomorrow will be all right? Now that's how we teach it at outreaches. An outreach, like I said yesterday, is, as the name implies, when you reach out. When as a fisherman, you are reaching out to a fish to bring that fish home, you cover the hook with meat, with worm, so that the fish will say, here is food, and then will swallow it only to discover that there is a piece of metal inside. But after you have brought the fish home, then you begin to work on the fish. When we want to win souls, we look at the very beautiful aspect of scriptures. We tell them to come to Jesus Christ, he will heal you, which is true. By his stripes, you are healed. Come to Jesus Christ, he will prosper you, which is true. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Come to Jesus Christ and you'll be set free, which is true. Whosoever the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. Come to Jesus Christ and you'll be promoted, which is true. Jesus Christ said, and now if I be lifted up, withdraw all men unto me. And on and on and on. But after you come into the kingdom, you need to learn that there is a little bit extra. And I've had people who have accused me that all I preach is to be well with you, pleasant things. When they come to the Holy Ghost service, there's someone here, the Lord is going to wipe away tears from your eyes, which is true. What he tells me is what I say. Why don't you teach us some hard truth? I say, are you a member of my church? And he says, no. Do you know what I preach on Sundays? You want to hear the hard truth? Well, come and join us. And then you'll hear one or two things. I'm going to look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, as from the perspective of those who are either matured in Christ or want to mature in Christ. I want to talk to those who are not babies, or those who are babies who want to grow. Do I hear amen again now? Amen. All right. This passage says, say ye to the righteous, not to the thief. Exodus 22, verse 2 to 3. Exodus 22, verse 2 to 3. Said clearly in the word of God that death penalty is appropriate for a thief. Somebody comes to rob you in the night and you kill him, as far as God is concerned, you are free. Proverbs 29 verse 24. Proverbs 29 verse 24 said clearly, if you partner with a thief, you hate your soul. You are not allowed to steal if you are a child of God. Stealing is not allowed. And when we talk about stealing, many of us think about, you know, highway robbery, you go to the bank, you pull out a gun. No, 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 no. Stealing simply means taking that which does not belong to you. Using that which is not yours as if it were yours. And I give you an example. When I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos, I was a younger Christian. I wrote a personal letter. And when I finished writing a personal letter, there are official envelopes on my table. And I reached out my hand to pick one to put in my personal letter for postage. And the Spirit of God said, don't. Why not? He said, that those envelopes, they are for official letters, not personal letters. Lord, how much does an envelope cost? He said to me, if you know an envelope is that cheap, go and buy yours. Say ye to the righteous, not to the thief. Say ye to the righteous, not to the fraud. Not to the fraudulent one. Jeremiah 17 verse 11, Jeremiah 17 verse 11 tells us that as a partridge sits on eggs and hatch them not, so will someone who get wealth but by fraudulent means leave them in the midst of his days and at the end be a fool. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20 to 27. 2 Kings 5 verse 20 to 27. Gehazi got wealth by fraudulent means from Naaman and he got something extra. He got something he didn't bargain for. Almighty God says, if you gather wealth by fraudulent means, you use what is not yours to acquire wealth. He says, he will make sure that you don't spend it. Several years ago, I was chairman of the board of governors of a high school somewhere. I won't mention the name. And a son of the soil decided to help the school. He decided to build a boys' hostel, a guest hostel, school hall, and the principal's quarter. And because he was generous and was bringing money and cement, everything, the principal decided that hey, this is an opportunity for me also to build a small house in my hometown. So as he was building the school buildings, he was also building his own little mansion. And God was quiet. God waited till he finished. Then somebody surfaced and said, who built on my land? I said, I bought this land from so and so. Sorry, you bought it from the wrong fellow. Okay. Don't let us argue. How much do you want for the land? The man said, no, I'm not selling my land. Take away your house. The house is still there today. And I'm talking of something now close to 40 years. Uninhabited. The fellow who said, I own the land, didn't touch the house, didn't bother about the land, but he simply said, take your house. Say ye to the righteous, not to the liar. Revelation 22 verse 15, Revelation 22 verse 15 tells us clearly that as far as God is concerned, liars and dogs are in the same category. He said they are outside, they will be outside his kingdom without our dogs. And those who love and tell a lie. As far as God is concerned, because it is clearly stated in John chapter 8 verse 44, John 8 verse 44, that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. If you tell a lie, you are declaring openly that your father is the devil. Because Jesus Christ is called the truth. And his children will not lie. And I believe God wants me to make this one clear, particularly to many of us young ones who are being swept off our feet by those who are preaching grace, grace, grace alone. But once you are born again, you can lie, you can cheat, it doesn't matter, you're on your way to heaven. The devil is a liar. And there is no white lie. No blue one, no green one. A lie is a lie. Let me give you an illustration. Years ago, when my father and the Lord was alive, I traveled from Lagos to Elisha and returned to Lagos, and I decided to go and greet him. On my way to his house, I remember that, oh, he has taught us you don't visit a man of God empty-handed, and I haven't brought anything for him. So I saw where they were selling oranges in Surulere. I branched and bought some oranges. So when I got there, I gave him the oranges. And because of the relationship, because of the love between the two of us, immediately I gave the oranges. He called somebody, hey, come and peel the oranges that my son has brought. And as he was sucking one of the oranges, he said, ah, this orange is sweet. You bought it on the road? Now I understand the question. The road he's talking about is the road between Elisha and Lagos, not Surulere. I said, yes, sir. The moment I said, yes, sir, the Holy Spirit said, you lied. So I said, what's the difference? Road is road. I bought it at the roadside in Surulere. Road is road. The Holy Spirit said, you lied. I said, how does it affect the sweetness of the orange? God have mercy on those of us who think we are clever. The Holy Spirit says, son, you lied. Okay. If it's such a serious matter. So I said to the old man, I said, Papa, you asked a question just now. I actually bought these oranges in Surulere. You know what the old man said? He said, Holy Spirit. Because he knew who was dealing with me. I thought I was being clever. I thought I was lying to an old man. But you can't lie to God. There's no room for any form of lies in the life of a Christian. Say ye to the righteous, not to the greedy. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. Proverbs 1, 17 to 19 says, he who is greedy of gain lays wait for his own blood. He ambushes his own life. If you are greedy, God says you are lying in ambush for your own life. You are waiting to destroy your own life. Proverbs 15 verse 27. Proverbs 15 verse 27 says, the one who is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. You create a problem for your family as a result of your greed. Children can get into trouble because their parents have been greedy. And I'll give you illustrations. Just to let you know, these things are practical Christianity. Several years ago, when we were starting our churches in Zambia, there was a man there, you know, a native, who we thought was a representative. He was collecting money that was supposed to be used to, you know, build the churches, and he was pocketing the money. And we have no way of finding out. When I go there, I spend at most 1 week, and whatever you show a stranger is what he sees. But one day, his daughter was playing with, these little dolls that we put in the houses, in the villages, to keep the goats away. When you open the main door, I don't know if you know that kind of little doors. In my village, we call it agarandi. Because the house, the illumination comes from the door. So the main door remains open, but there's this little door to keep the goats away. And it's still used all over Africa. So the daughter was playing with agarandi. And suddenly, the agarandi broke. And while the girl was trying to steady herself, the nail that came out from where the agarandi was nailed in pierced her eye. And as they were trying to pull her out, the nail brought out the eye. When I went and I was told, I trembled. God, this is your man, your representative in this land, helping us to build the church. And God said, ask him. You know, several times we are praying for someone, for healing, for deliverance, for breakthrough, and you are not getting results. You know, on several occasions I've cried to God, what's going on? This fellow is your child. He's committed. And God will say, son, you don't know all the story. You don't know all the story. So God was asking. So I said, sir, I'm terrified. I'm distressed about what had happened. But just now the Holy Spirit said, I should ask you. With his head down, trembling, because God said, ask him, because other things are see on the way if he doesn't tell you the truth. He said, I have not been faithful. The money you are sending, I have been misappropriating. Say it to the righteous, not to the lazy. Proverbs 23 verse 21. Proverbs 23 verse 21 says, if you are lazy, you end up being clothed with rags. Because some of us don't want to work hard, we just want to get rich overnight. It's not going to happen. Proverbs 19 verse 15. Proverbs 19 verse 15 says clearly, the idle soul shall suffer hunger. And the word of God is forever settled. I know many of us who came out into full-time ministry around the same time I did, and I'm saying this with all humility. Today, when we meet, after several years, they look at me and say, God has been faithful to you. I said, no doubt about that. He has been. But then I always add very politely, nobody can accuse me of laziness. Nobody. I mean, if you say I'm a lazy man, I would look at you closely and say, you must be related to the devil. I mean, someone was saying, listen, you just finished the Holy Ghost Congress, a whole week of activities. And we know that before the Holy Ghost Congress, you spent weeks in fasting and praying and in preparations. Those who are close to you tell us that even before people coming for the Congress, you inspect everything, including the toilets. And then you finish the Congress. Few days later, you say you are going out fishing. Why don't you sit down at home and say, tell your children, listen, I've just done this one. You go and do the rest. I say, thank you. As long as he gives me strength, I'll be occupied for him. Like I said, as soon as I finish here, I've just come from UI, finished from here. Something else is waiting in Lagos. And not one program today. At least two major ones. The word of God is clear. If you are lazy, you can't expect God's blessing. And I think I've told some of you students before. You're not studying. You said, but it is written, the Holy Spirit will remind us. He will remind you of what you have learned. And but what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit then? I mean, I said, no problem. You don't study, you fail, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. He will tell you when there is life, there is hope. So you have to learn to be diligent. Say ye to the righteous, the one whose future is going to be all right. He said, the fellow must be righteous because Proverbs 13 verse 22 says, the wealth of sinners have been laid up for the just. Proverbs 12 verse 24 says, the diligent beareth rule. The slothful shall be under tribute. You are lazy, you end up being a tenant. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Proverbs 22 verse 29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and not before me men. Say ye to the righteous. The righteous is talking about our covenant keepers. Psalm 50 verse 14 to 15 says, pay your vows. Then cry to me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. Today, many Christians just make vows casually. Many a times they knew even when they were making the vows that they have no intention of paying. He says, you don't keep your covenants with me, you don't pay your vows, you cry in the day of trouble, I won't even listen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4, he said that you are to even pay your vows speedily. He said, because God is not interested in fools. Oh, so you want to prosper. Prosperity is for those who will build the kingdom of God. Zechariah 1 verse 17. He says, my cities shall yet be built through prosperity. But I know you will tell me, what about all the ministers who are preaching prosperity and they are getting rich and we know they are not... Living holy, no, don't worry about the present, worry about the end. How will they end? It is the end that matters. I told them, you are about somebody who sold land to us at the camp. We had paid for the land. And all of a sudden he said, I'm taking the land back. Don't do this. He shouldn't do that kind of thing. Then he began to chant incantations. He said, the vulture eats rituals with impunity. I laughed. I said, of all the birds in the world, you want to compare yourself to the vulture? You want your life to be like that of the vulture? You look haggard, look terrible. He said, they told me that if I do this thing, you are likely to push a curse on me. I said, I'm not pushing a curse on you. He said, let me tell you. I am the eagle who eats the things of curses to become fat. I would dejoin with Pesara. I laugh. You've jumped from vulture now to eagle. I said, why don't you ask the elders how the eagles die? They tell you, hunters normally don't get to kill an eagle. It flies so high, they are gone, can't reach it. And when the eagle is young and strong, swoop down, pick your chicken, and you are cursing him, and he's just laughing, going away with your chicken. You eat the chicken and become fat. But when he gets old, when he can no longer swoop, he sits down up there, and little birds will begin to tease him. The eagle always die of hunger in old age. How do you want your end to be? It is the end that matters. It is the end that matters. What's the conclusion? Of course, the man made the conclusion of the story. Suddenly, after about 4 years, after he had sold our land again to other people and got a lot of money out of it, suddenly his stomach began to swell. Little by little. The vulture discovered that the stomach now was swelling. Swelling so badly that if he stands, the stomach touches the ground. And so somebody said they were thinking of bringing him to me to pray for. I said, I pray for people, not for birds. What's the conclusion? You can determine your own future. You can do what? You can determine your own future. Because he says, say ye to the righteous, he shall be well with him. You see, Psalm 34, verse 17, says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. When you are living a life of righteousness, a life of purity, a life of holiness, when you cry to God, the answer comes. You can determine the future even of your children. You, on your own, by your decision. Because Psalm 37 verse 25, David said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The righteous will not be forsaken. His children, God will see to it that they don't lack. Proverbs 11 verse 8. Proverbs 11 verse 8 says, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh instead. That's called the law of substitution. When trouble wants to swallow the righteous, God will say, hey, hold it, trouble. That's righteous. You leave that fellow alone. You need a substitute, I give you one. Oh, you say, that's not possible. You better read the scriptures. The people who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they are the one who died. Because the furnace must be fed. The people who threw Daniel into the lions, in the den of lions, they were the people who fed the lions. I mean, when the lions saw Daniel coming, they said, here comes food. God said, no, this is righteous. One of my children. Don't touch him. But God, you are the one who made us eat meat. God said, wait a minute, I feed you tomorrow. When you're living a righteous life, you go through life with boldness, knowing that tomorrow will be all right. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 verse 1, it said, the wicked runneth when no man is pursuing. But the righteous is as bold as a lion. For years, I traveled across this country, myself and my driver alone, day and night. There are armed robbers on the way, and not for me. And nowadays, they've arranged all manners of things, but don't let anybody fool you. They are not for my protection. They are very wonderful children of mine. They are very good at clearing the road when there is obstruction. So I can get to the next venue quickly. But let me tell you, if you believe that the policemen around you carrying revolvers in their pocket are your protectors, you wait till they come across people carrying AK-47. Then you will discover you better have God on your side. But the righteous is as bold as a lion. So this morning, because I have to run now, it's already, I should be leaving by 7 at the latest, it's a bit past 7. I want to challenge you to make a commitment. I want you to go to the Almighty God and lay your life online. Place your life on the altar and tell him I'm making a commitment. A commitment to a life of purity, a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. I don't care what others want to do. They may want to lie. They may want to cheat. They may want to be fraudulent. That's up to them. I'm making my own personal commitment to you, Father. Commitment to righteousness. Commitment to purity. Commitment to holiness. And I can assure you, it will prove to you that he's also a covenant-keeping God. Shall we please stand? If you see love God, in spite of all you have heard, let me hear you shout hallelujah. So go to him now. Don't pray this prayer unless you mean it, because he's listening. And just lift your voice to him and say, Father, this morning, I commit myself to a life of righteousness, of purity, of holiness. So help me, God. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe.
You're watching Redeemer's Network Television.